The Senate will be in order. Will everyone in the Senate and the galleries please rise for the prayer by Reverend Gock and remain standing for the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag.
Oswald Chambers wrote down that we have to pray with our eyes on God and not on our difficulties. We know these days increase with tension, for we approach our final 3 weeks, Lord, when the session will end and our work for this time will cease, and yet we have so much yet to accomplish. Help us, we pray, to keep our eyes on you and not the problems and conflicts we see about us, so our efforts are true and directed in what you see as truly important that we can bring to accomplishment. In your holy name we pray. Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Madam Secretary, please call the roll.
Senators Brown, Chappelle Nadal, Cunningham, Curls, Dixon, Igel, Emery, Hageman, Holzman, Hoskins, Hummel, Kehoe, Koenig, Kraus, Leibler, Munslinger, Nasheed, Onder, Richard, Riddle, Rizzo, Romine, Rowden, Sater, Schoff, Schatz, Shoup, Sifton, Sylvie, Wallingford, Walsh, Wasson, Whelan.
Senator from Lewis. Senator Lewis is here. Quorum being present, the Senate is in session. Madam Secretary, please read the journal.
Journal of the Senate, first regular session, 59th day, Tuesday, April 25th, 2017. The Senate met pursuant to adjournment.
Senator from Cole, what purpose do you rise?
Thank you, Mr. President. I move that further reading of the journal be dispensed with and the same be approved as though having been fully read.
Senator from Cole has moved that further reading of the journal be dispensed with and the same be approved as fully read. Does any senator desire to be heard? Hearing none. Senator from Cole, you're recognized. Close.
Thank you, Mr. President. I close.
Those of the opinion that motion shall prevail, say aye. Those of the contrary, say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. Introduction of guests. Senator from Cole, what purpose do you rise?
Thank you, Mr. President. It's my pleasure this morning to tell you that the Saints are here, Mr. President. The fourth grade class from just across the street from the Capitol, St. Peter's Interparish School. They've come to visit the state capitol and watch the Senate debate this morning. I'd ask that these fine students, along with their teachers and parents, please rise and that the Missouri Senate make them feel welcome today.
Would the Missouri Senate please welcome the guests from the Senate from Cole? Introduction of guests. Senator from Christian, what purpose do you rise?
Introduction of very special guests.
You may proceed.
Thank you, Mr. President. To your right and to my left, all lined up along the wall over here, is the Strafford Lady Indians. They are the state champions for this year in 3A basketball, and they have done that now consecutively for 2 years in a row. They had a 33-0 record, never being beat this year. I believe they are now in the 40s as far as victories in a row, 41, something in that area. They have not been beaten in a long time. They are, and ladies, you might raise your hand if I read your name. Abby Oliver, the only senior, by the way, on this team, is a Strafford all-time leading scorer in career points, Missouri individual record breaker for most three-point shots made in a single season, first-team All-State, first-team All-District, first-team All-Conference, first-team All-Ozarks USA. Obviously a very special little lady. Also, we have Haley Frank, Missouri Class 3A Player of the Year, First Team All-State, First Team All-District, First Team All-Conference, Ozone Player of the Year, and First Team All-Ozarks USA Team. Zoe Mullins, Second Team All-Conference, and Kaylee Frank, Second Team All-Conference, Second Team All-District. The other ladies that we have here, I'll read their names. I'd like all of them to be recognized. Abby Oliver, as I've mentioned, Taylor Chrisman, Kendall Compton, Micah Chadwell, Kaylee Frank, Zoe Mullins, Madeline Wurtzma, Madeline Ward, Taylor Treat, Logan Jones, Kayla Eagleberger, Haley Frank, and Alyssa Collette. And they are led by head coach Steve Frank and also assistant coach Jesse Ulsep. They are one of the most outstanding lady basketball teams in an area where I live where we have a lot of them. They are the cream of the crop, the best that we've seen in a long time. And I would like for this body to not only congratulate them, but make them feel very welcome in the Capitol today.
Introduction of guests, Senator from Callaway, what purpose do you rise?
Thank you, Mr. President. I would like to introduce very special guests to your left and my right. If you all would stand up. I have 8 high school students from the Missouri School for the Deaf visiting us today. Included are Staquan Scott from St. Louis, Marcus Smith, St. Louis, Scotty Percy, Piedmont, Kyra Rogers, St. Louis. Oh, I may mess this up. Anita Gill, Columbia. Melissa Davis from Fulton, Jeremy Matias Flores from St. Louis, Chris Scott from Rolla, and I ask the body to please join me in making them feel very welcome today.
Let's please welcome the guests from the Senator from Callaway to the Missouri Senate Chamber. Introduction of guests, Senator from Boone, what purpose do you rise?
Thank you, Mr. President. Introduction of a very special guest today with us on your right and my left. I am proud to introduce the athletic director of the University of Missouri, Jim Sterk. Jim has been with the program now for less than a year, new to the job, came to us by way of San Diego State, is doing a phenomenal job, and as many have learned, that there is some palpable momentum with Mizzou sports, and that is in no small part to the leadership of Mr. Sterk. So I'd love the Senate to make him feel welcome this morning.
Let's please welcome the guest from Senator Boone to the Missouri Senate Chamber. Introduction of guest. Introduction of guest. Petitions, memorials, remonstrances. Petitions, memorials, remonstrances. Resolutions. Resolutions. Concurrent resolutions. Concurrent resolutions. Before we get started this morning, I want to remind the members of the Senate, in order to keep decorum in the Senate so we don't have the issues that we had yesterday, for you to seek recognition, you must be at your desk, and you must also understand that the microphones are not on when you're seeking recognition. So you verbally need to make sure that the dais can hear that you're seeking recognition. Once you are recognized, then you may state the reason for that you rise. Until that point, you know, I ask that you not proceed with certain examples such as point of orders or such inquiries until you're addressed by the chair. The other thing I want to point out, the noise level in the chamber is getting extremely loud. It is very difficult for the clerks to be able to do their job. It's very difficult for me to hear at the dais with all the activity that we have. So I ask that everybody keep that decorum as we finish out this session, and I will do my best to recognize every senator in here, but at the same point, I ask that you do your job as senators. Senator from Newton, what purpose do you rise?
President, Mr. President, thank you. Would you please refer House Concurrent Resolution 7, House Concurrent Resolution 17, the Committee on Rules, Joint Rules, Resolutions, and Ethics?
Those will be referred. Senator from Cole.
Thank you, Mr. President. Without objection, the Senate will go to the order of business of House bills on third reading, and I'd ask you recognize the Senator from Phelps County on House Bill 10.
House Committee substitute for House Bill number 10, Senator from Phelps.
Thank you, Mr. President.
Oh, I'm sorry. Hearing no objection, we will go to the order of business of House bills for third reading. Hearing no objection. We are now on House Committee substitute for House Bill number 10, Senator from Phelps.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move that House Committee substitute for House Bill 10 with the Senate Committee substitute be taken up for third reading and final passage.
The Senator from Phelps has moved that House Committee substitute for House Bill number 10 with Senate Committee substitute be taken up for third reading and final passage. As many of the opinion that motion shall prevail, say aye.
Aye.
Those of the contrary say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. Senator, do you care to move for the adoption of the Senate Committee substitute and to explain the bill?
Thank you, Mr. President. I move for the adoption of the Senate Committee substitute for House Committee substitute for House Bill 10. House Bill 10 is the Department of Mental Health and Department of Health and Senior Services. Go over just a few things in mental health. As you can see, there's a fair amount of general revenue in mental health, but there's also a lot of federal funds in mental health as well. So the first few lines are the same on all the bills, and the Excellence in Mental Health demonstration, this is a federal program, is like $176 million, an increase in federal funds. There's actually $9.1 million of GR in that line. The change in the asset limit that we did last year resulted in increased costs in departmental health of $19.3 million extra dollars. And opioid crisis funding, that's important to a lot of folks presently, rebasing for developmentally disabled providers. There's a lot of money here with the SORTS program, and as you read down, you will kind of see some of the changes that have been made. Department of Health and Senior Services, again, fair amount of general revenue and almost $1 billion worth of federal funding. There's, again, the restoring the 1.5%, 1.5% of the provider rate cut from Senior Service Protection Fund and 1.5% from GR is a total $19.9 million cost. Medicaid costs to continue, implement services $38 million. Medicaid utilization for anticipated growth load and utilization $6-7 million. There is a $100,000 line in here for implementation of the voter ID program because the Department of Health and Senior Services is responsible for birth certificates, marriage license, divorce statements, and those kind of documents. And those are provided at no cost to the voter. And a change in the level of home care and community-based services, increasing the eligibility from 21 to 24 assessment points. They've said that's not going to hurt a whole lot. Saves us $16 million. With that, Mr. President, try to answer questions.
Does any senator desire to be heard? The senator from Phelps has moved for the adoption of Senate Committee Substitute for House Committee Substitute for House Bill number 10 with the Senate Committee Substitute. Does any senator desire to be heard on the Senate Committee Substitute? Senator from the 24th, what purpose do you rise?
Thank you, Mr. President. I have an amendment. It is
send your amendment forward, and has your amendment been distributed?
It is in the process of being distributed now. I ask for a waiver of the reading, and I move for its adoption.
Hearing no objection, the reading will be waived. Senator, do you care to explain your amendment?
Yes, Mr. President. Mr. President, yesterday during the budget process, we fully funded the school foundation formula, and when we did that, money that was in Budget Bill 2 for our placement fund for children who are in foster care, who have some special needs and need to be taken care of within a large number of districts and facilities throughout our state, their funding gets reimbursed by the state because they are above and beyond what a school district is taking in from the state and from its local effort and from the federal government. So yesterday, when we fully funded the formula in House Bill 2, what we did was we, in essence, sort of wiped out the money that was in that placement fund in House Bill 2 for these kids. And it was in that fund in the amount of $7.768606 million. What I have done is gone and talked with the budget chair, talked with many of the advocates who understand the importance of this money in order to educate these kids, many of whom have very special needs, and I've talked with Adam, working with the budget. And what we found is that we believe that there is a place in House Bill 10 to put these dollars back in so that this large list of school districts who stand to lose a lot of their costs that are being currently being covered can earn those monies back. Now, we did this through GR rather than lottery funds because we believe that while we don't know exactly where the lottery will land at the end of this budget year, what we know is that it's coming in at fewer dollars than it has in the past and maybe not enough to fund even the foundation formula, but that certainly it doesn't appear as if money will be left in lottery funds to fund this particular line item that was in the Senate's budget. So rather than go back to the amendment that I proposed yesterday that increased that area to last year's amount and to the governor's recommended amount, what I have done is gone in and said, we don't want to be in a position, we're negotiating with the House to put money in this important budget priority that was a priority of the Senate's. We want to make sure that there is no question that comes about as to whether we cannot fund it and meet the differences because we don't have it coming out of GR. So this amendment, once again, proposes that that money, at the level that we had it funded at yesterday, goes back into our budget process, this time through GR, so that we're actually able to fund it should those lottery funds not exist. Thank you.
Does any senator desire to be heard on amendment number one? Senator from Berry, what purpose do you rise?
To inquire of the senator from the 24th.
Senator from 24th, you yield to inquiry from the senator from Berry. Senator from Berry, you may proceed.
Senator, you mentioned that this the reason for this amendment is because when we've increased the funding for the formula, could you explain exactly how that happened?
How the increase in the funding for the formula happened?
No, how the increase in the formula caused a decrease in...
Well, because this listed in House Bill 2 says that the proceeds come from lottery funds. This changes it to GR. In case those lottery funds aren't available, for every senator in this chamber, I believe that there is likely a student or a district that you represent that is going to need to collect at least a portion of the money to cover the costs of the special education needs of these kids. So this assures us that we have a position when we go to conference on this part of the budget.
So because of we are using more lottery funds,
yes,
to fund the formula,
yes,
they may not be there for this program.
It's very unlikely that they will be there. So if we care about making sure our school districts are funded for this program, then we need to have a place in the budget it is a good idea for us to put ourselves in a position of having a place to go to access these dollars. So it is a really gray area, from what I understand, of whether when we go in to negotiate and there is no funding left in lottery, what do we do? Does that mean our position is line itemed out at zero, or do we want to make sure that we have taken care to put this into a place in the budget?
Yeah. Well, that's what scares me when we do things on the fly. It has consequences that we are not aware of.
Trying to catch this one, and
where you're going, I approve of that, which makes not a whole lot of difference, but I do approve, because I think these kids need to be taken care of.
Right, I appreciate that.
And to make sure we do the GR, and then we can go to conference. And
then we'll
out.
Go to conference, and hopefully we'll be able to hold our position, but we'll certainly find out when we get there. But
I'm trying
to give the budget chair another tool to ensure that we don't lose these dollars that were important to him because they came out of our budget.
I know there's various senators that were concerned about the consequences of fully funding the formula and how it would trigger other non-desirable results like this.
Right.
And so I'm glad you caught that, and I'll be fully supportive of your amendment.
Thank you. I appreciate that, Senator.
Does any other senator desire to be heard on amendment number one? Senator from Phelps, what purpose do you rise?
Speak on the amendment.
You may proceed.
Thank you. What we're actually doing here is we're the senator proposes to take this language out of House Bill 2, where it clearly belongs. We have a Senate position there presently of $7.768606 million. It was funded with some of the foundation formula money, which in effect yesterday was taken away. However, I think I've got a better chance of going to conference to try to supplant some GR funding here in House Bill 2 than I would have in House Bill 10. When we're looking to get general revenue, this is a big red flag, and I don't think that I've got a very good chance of keeping this in the budget. So I guess what I'm going to be asking, even though I support this line, it's important for schools in my district, schools all over the state of Missouri. I think I'm better trying to hold that position in two, because that was a Senate committee substitute position, than I would be to try to write a new line in 10 and come up with $7.7 million worth of GR. We don't know where lottery funds are going to be. If lottery lags where it's at right now, there's probably a big chance that the foundation formula is not going to be fully funded, even though we passed that on the floor yesterday. So how we utilize those funds then doesn't become a choice of us anymore. It becomes a choice of the executive branch. In my opinion, I think I've got a better chance of holding this and getting money in two than I do in 10. So I would urge the body to vote no.
Does any senator desire to be heard on amendment number one? Senator from the 24th, what purpose do you rise?
Thank you, Mr. President, to inquire of the senator from Phelps.
Senator from Phelps, do you yield to an inquiry from the senator from the 24th?
I do.
Senator, you may proceed.
Thank you. Thank you, Senator, for taking my inquiry. I know that we have tried to figure out how to best go about this, and that's what we're both working on here.
Right.
And in my conversations with you originally, I thought it made more sense in DSS's budget in Senate Bill 11, and when we talked about that, you said that there is so much money, that bottom line is so big, that would not be a good place to go. So when I talked to Adam, who knows this budget backwards and forwards, he thought that 10 might provide another opportunity for us. And I think you and I are trying to get to the same place here.
Right.
The question is, what is the best method to ensure that there will be money from which to conference and
right.
from a starting place for us? So,
it's conferenceable now in two, because we're different than the House. And even though technically the money went away with fully funding the formula, that line still sits there. And then I think the discussion would be, number one, do we keep it in? Number two, do we supplant funds to try to fund this and maintain this as a line item in the budget where it's always been and in DESE's area? And I think that is the wisest move to make at this point.
Well, you know, I understand, but we have missed the opportunity in two to change this over from lottery to GR. So, again,
Senate will come to order. Senate will come to order for the senators to be able to have debate. Senator, you may proceed.
Thank you. So, again, you know, I think you're hearing from advocates in your district as I am hearing from advocates who represent my districts, that we want to ensure that, at the very least, this money is available. And my understanding is that there is not a clear-cut, that it is not clear-cut whether money that is, that whether this part of the budget that would be funded by lottery based on that line item in two will be acceptable when we go to conference with the House. So all I'm trying to do is provide an alternative GR solution to that question of if there is an argument and if there is a holdup along those lines based on where these dollars come from, that we have done what we needed to do in order to make sure, again, this minimum amount, because originally I had, as you recall, an amendment to fund an additional $3 million plus to get this budget item back to where the governor's position is, equal with last year's budget, because we know what is needed in order to support these kids who are getting educated and have, many of whom have special needs in our schools across the state. So I guess I understand your objection to a degree, because yes, it would be better in two, but it isn't in two this way. And if we are going to, again, help support our schools and the places in our districts that are taking care of serving the needs of these kids, we need to be starting from a position where there is room for negotiation.
Well, I think we have room for negotiations now. I've got $7.7 million in that line item, and it is conferenceable. And, you know, if we're with the governor, which is where we would be, then if we stay with a number, then the discussion becomes how do we fund it? And then it's still in DESE that's used to administering this program. So to me, it makes sense to leave it in two. We've got a conferenceable item here, whereas it would be conferenceable if you put it in here. But I'm telling you, in a different House bill than it's ever been in, and total GR, I think it puts it at greater risk than if we leave it in two and conference on that issue.
Well,
and that's my personal opinion.
Senator, if you leave it in two the way it is, and obviously we're going to be doing that because we're done with two, and you have it here, should it be able to be passed and negotiated in two, please tell me what the harm is of having it here if somebody questions the ability of us to fund that through the lottery in two.
Well, I don't know that we necessarily have to fund it through lottery in two. That's how it's listed now. But oftentimes we make, we do some fund switches. And that's,
sometimes.
Yeah.
Sometimes we do. But right. I know that this is an area that I've been told is very much a gray area. And this right. is just a safety net, if you will, for should there be a question about that fund switch that we may have to go to in two. This is here as our backup to hold our position on what we thought, on what you thought, not what I thought, but what you thought as a budget committee chair should be funded in terms of this program.
I'm
asking you, what's the harm?
I guess there's no harm. I'll go with the will of the body, but it's nice to know that people are actually concerned about the Appropriations Committee opinion at this point in time, because they didn't seem to be yesterday, which has put us in this situation.
Well, again, and here we are with this new reality that we're dealing with since yesterday, and I want to make sure that we don't lose sight of that we don't hold our districts who are doing their best and these schools who are doing their best to educate our kids, that we don't force additional costs upon them that we would have funded had yesterday been turned out differently.
Yep.
So
I will continue to be a no.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you, Senator. Thank you, Mr. President.
Is any other senator desire to be heard on Amendment Number 1? Senator from the 1st, you're seeking recognition,
yes,
correct?
Yes, Mr. President, to inquire the Senator from the 24th.
Okay. Senator from the 24th, you yield to an inquiry from the Senator from the 1st. You may proceed, Senator.
Senator, is your amendment point 10S?
It is.
And forgive me, I have been spending some time this morning trying to get on top of some other aspects of this bill. And so I have been, frankly, doing that while you have been discussing your amendment. So this is not. Tell me about this fund.
So this fund is to reimburse two pages. We talked about this a little bit yesterday. In House Bill 2. It's to reimburse a whole list, two pages of schools that have kids that attend school in their district to receive the services they need, to reimburse those schools for those services that they're providing
to these children. Is it fair to say this is another shot at the private placement fund then?
It is.
Okay, and is it literally the same fund, or is this just a part of it?
Well, this is less than what I proposed yesterday.
Right, got it.
This is what the Senate had in our budget into, but it was funded by lottery.
Right.
This particular amendment allows it to be funded out of GR in case, as our budget chair said yesterday, our lottery funds will be eaten up by the fully funding of the foundation formula.
Sure. So your amendment funds it with GR?
GR.
Got it. Which is what it is, but I understand what you're trying to do and support what you're trying to do. So, yes, I'm going to use approximate numbers. With respect to the private placement fund, the House said zero. The Senate committee said roughly 70 cents on the dollar. And your amendment yesterday said 100 cents on the dollar.
Right.
Where does this amendment come in that regard? Or is it a fund switch?
It is really simply a fund switch.
Got it. So this is the same 70 cents on the dollar, just with GR instead of lottery.
That's right.
Got it.
And it's just to protect our position.
Right. Right, which right now is compromised because the funding source is imperiled by virtue of the formula vote we all had yesterday.
Right, and by the fact that we don't know exactly where lottery will come in, but it's underperforming currently.
Got it. Well, yeah, and I hate to say it, in my limited experience in appropriations, the road to eternity is paved with optimistic assumptions of lottery revenue.
Right.
It seems to me. I mean, feel free to tell me what years we have understated what we thought the lottery would bring in.
Exactly.
But it's one of those, for lack of a better term, magic asterisks in our budget that we seem to turn to when we need to be able to claim that this is balanced when, in fact, it is not.
Right. And, you know, lottery that was supposed to help fund our schools, I'm not sure that that's happened to the degree that we thought it would, as you just stated, and this particular fund is one that was so critical and so important to the Senate that I thought talking with people, that putting it with GR money behind it gave us a position from which to negotiate that maybe having it funded with lottery funds did not. Now, if it gets funded with lottery funds in House Bill 2, then we're done. We can wipe this out.
And so I'm going to go out on a limb and assume that the Reader's Digest condensed version of the Senator from Phelps' response to this amendment was, that would be fantastic if only we had the GR dollars to move. Is that fair?
Well,
Or is he in support of the amendment?
He does not support the amendment. What he agreed to was that it does no harm. but he is not supportive of it. He believes that we can negotiate from a position in, I think he prefers that it be in, as all of us would, in House Bill 2, which is the
right.
K-12 budget,
right.
which is where it should be. But because we're unsure of whether it will stand there, this is a backstop, and this is
Got
a
it.
Way to just ensure that those dollars are somewhere coming out of GR should we need them when we move beyond House Bill 2.
Yeah, well, Senator, and again, as I established yesterday, two of the top three adversely impacted school districts in the state are either in my district or very substantially connected to my district. So of 33 members in this body with one vacant seat, my district is as impacted by this as any, and perhaps arguably more impacted than any other. So I greatly appreciate the effort that you are making here to continue to try to find a way. And, you know, the dollars, in essence, even if this amendment goes on, we're conceding a 30% cut to this fund.
Right, right. Yeah. Even with this amendment going on, because I did not try to go back to the position that I took yeah. yesterday, which was frankly voted down. So I yeah. came back and said, okay, the Senate position is good enough. Let's just make sure that we have money to be able to negotiate and perhaps even hold on to that position.
Well, I would just implore members of the body to keep the item on the table if we possibly can, particularly those, frankly. Respectfully, we had, what, 18 or 19 senators vote for full funding of the formula.
Right.
You and I were among them. And I would just ask of those senators, look, the unintended implications of what we did there, which was good, but the unintended implication is bad things for the private placement fund that impacts all of our districts. So I would just say, if we're going to make the move on the formula yesterday, let's at least give the Senate conferees the wherewithal to even have the conversation
exactly.
on protecting the private placement fund. I don't know where that where that comes out in conference, but there is at least some latitude to be had with these GR dollars. And as a body, we took a lot of latitude away from our conferees yesterday for all the right reasons, but we took it away from them. I would just ask the members who supported full funding for the formula yesterday to please support you and I in keeping this a conferenceable item in the dollar amount that the Senate Appropriations Committee originally talked about. It's not what you or I would want.
Right.
It's basically baking in an automatic 30 to 35% cut in this important fund for these at-risk children. But let's keep the issue on the table, because I think only one result follows if we leave it in two the way it is and there's no other fund source.
Right. And again, that's my concern. And there is, you know, as I went and talked to our appropriations chair, but also to Adam, we are unclear about whether the House's position will be you are trying to fund a line item with funds that no longer exist based on other things that you have done in House Bill 2.
And I'll say this even more specifically and even more pointedly, Senator. And don't get me wrong, I am delighted that we put $40 million back into the K-12 formula. At the margins, all right, those are dollars that leave my district and don't come back. My districts are, on average, 90% locally funded. So many of them do enjoy support from the formula. Most of them enjoy only marginal support from the formula. It's money that they're happy to have. Every dollar of it that comes from here trades off with a local property tax dollar that my local property taxpayers then will not have to pay. But the point is, losing the private placement fund really hurts my district. And fully funding the formula helps my district a little, but not as much as the private placement fund hurts. And I'll just go back to the point that the senator from the 7th and some other leading Missouri citizens have made, and that is that we still have $107 million on the Senate supplemental line. that is there. I would just implore the body to please give our conferees the latitude to accomplish something positive for these at-risk children.
Well, and if you will let me take one more minute, I just want to make it
sure.
clear, because you talked about 70 cents on the dollar, and actually, even at the full funding level that I wanted to go back to yesterday, we were still only funding at 79%. So we are lower than, so this is not even 70%.
This isn't even the Senate committee position.
This is the Senate committee position, what I'm funding at, but that was not at a even the position I offered yesterday was not going to fully fund. It was just going to match last year's levels, so which were at less than 80%. So this is less than 70% that I am asking for, but I am supporting the position that the Senate took yesterday by not allowing for the increase that I had proposed. Does that make sense?
It does.
Okay.
It does. Senator, I appreciate your continued effort. I would implore the body, especially those senators who supported making this change on the foundation formula yesterday, arguably to the detriment of the private placement fund, to please give our school districts a chance to avoid taking that hit in conference. Senator, thank you.
Thank you, Senator.
Does any other senator desire to be heard on amendment number one? Senator from Phelps, what purpose do you rise?
Inquire, Senator from the 24th.
Senator from 24th, do you yield to an inquiry from Senator from Phelps?
I do.
So if we vote this in, is it your intentions to have a bill that would cut some area in the budget that you see by the 7.7 million, or just take it from the bottom line that we think we have and that we're trying to build?
Well, again, I mean, I thought you and I are on the same page with this, that what you're saying to me is that this exists into, even though it's a different fund, but you thought that you could negotiate from that point.
Right.
I am just providing a backstop, not intending to add any more to the budget than you had proposed.
So you do not have a plan on how we supplant or how we come up with, in other words, you don't have a cutting motion that you're bringing forward to find this money?
Well, actually, so later on in this same bill, I will have an amendment. It was not intended to do this, but I believe it will save us some state money. So it will save us, I think it's about $2 million in the budget. In addition, I just, you know, we talked about this too when I was in your office. I have the balance sheet here that shows that we have in our supplemental budget $147 million and an ending balance of $15 million plus. So that is an area where, as you may recall, when the previous...
That was before yesterday.
Well, but even still, even if you want to take $40 million out of there, which is not... even if you want to take $45 million out of there, we still have a healthy supplemental at a little over $100 million, in addition to the $15 million that you had as our ending balance. And the reality is, in previous years, we would end up with $1 million in the supplemental and move forward with the budget. So these, the supplemental budget as well as the ending balance, those, as we know, are subjective in terms of how much we need to keep there. So I'm suggesting that this $7 million, which you've already accounted for because you said it's in two and that you were willing to negotiate it for it in two, I'm not adding to that. So, yes, I do have an amendment that's going to save us some money if it passes in this budget bill, but it was not done in relation to this. If it gets passed in relation to this, that's great. But I don't think I'm taking a different dollar position than you stated that you were taking.
Well, I think it is a different approach, and I do think that, you know, if we keep adding these things, and at what point, we haven't even had time to really tally the bottom line with some things that happened, and if we continue taking amendments today, We very well may be at that $1 million, I guess, which is not a good place to be going into a year that there could be a pretty good supplemental. So that's all I want to say on that. I just wondered if you had a plan. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator.
Does any other senator desire to be heard on Amendment Number 1? Does any other senator desire to be heard? Hearing none.
Mr. President.
Senator from the 24th, what purpose do you rise?
President, may I inquire of the senator from Johnson?
Senator from Johnson. Senator from Johnson does not appear to be in the chamber. Sergeant of Arms, please summons the senator from Johnson. Senator from Johnson, do you yield to an inquiry from the senator from the 24th?
I do.
Senator, you may proceed.
Thank you. Thank you, Senator. This is just a friendly inquiry. I'm sorry. I know that everybody's busy working on their areas of the budget that they're concerned about. I don't know if you're familiar with the amendment that I've put forward today, but I wanted to take a minute and talk to you about it because my understanding is that in committee you were very concerned that we fund this private placement fund for kids who are in foster care that have all kinds of special needs that get put into different school districts and residential facilities who then our school districts are responsible for covering the costs. Now, we have a state fund that last year was at the $11 million, has been at the $11 million approximate funding level. I offered an amendment yesterday in Budget Bill 2 to increase the amount that our Appropriations Committee had put into this fund, which was, they had put in $7.7 million. I had asked for it to be increased to the level that we support that fund at this past year. So do you have a recollection of...
Yes, I do. You're talking about, and maybe I'm not using the correct terminology here, but during the budget process, we went through and talked about foster kids and how I have some foster homes in Marshall, Missouri, maybe in Howard County, and when those foster kids come in, that there's an extra payment that's made to that school district in order to make up the difference.
Make up the difference, to make sure that those kids, many of whom come with special needs and may be more expensive than a child in a general education classroom and may even need to get some of their education and treatment at a different place. So,
right.
So yesterday's amendment failed that I offered to increase the fund, and that is what happens, and that's part of the process. So, excuse me, I am not going back to revisit an increase. What I am doing is, our position in Senate Bill 2 yesterday was the same amount that is on my amendment that you have in front of you. It's 7.7. I don't even. Oh, here we go. 7.768 million.
Yes.
Okay. This is the amount we already have in Budget Bill 2, but the fund that it's coming from is lottery. Yesterday, we increased the foundation formula. We fully funded it.
Yes.
And my understanding was there was a real concern about whether lottery, which is underperforming, whether those funds will be available to fund this line item.
Okay.
So I had some conversations with different people and with the budget people to talk about what we could do to make sure that when we went to conference, that we were in a position to negotiate, maybe even to keep that full amount that had been proposed through the Senate budget, without having to worry about whether we were asking it to be funded through a fund that was zeroed out because those monies were used to fund the foundation formula.
Yes.
So this bill says, this bill gives us an opportunity to fund that through GR. So if we go to conference on House Bill 2, and during conference they say, look, you don't have a position because there is no money in the line item through which you wanted to fund it, the lottery line item. We have a backstop that says, look, we have an opportunity. We also made it clear that we have an opportunity to fund it through GR. This is not the best place to put this money. The best place would have been in 2.
Yes.
But we had moved beyond 2, and frankly, it didn't occur to me as we were going through that process to offer an amendment yesterday under 2 to change it from lottery fund to GR. So last night and today, when I started thinking about, well, how can we reinstate these important dollars, and again, not my position on the dollars, lower than my position, the Senate Appropriation Committee's position, how can we do that so that when we go to conference, we're in good standing? We haven't just said, well, lottery's gone, lottery money is gone, so we can't take care of the needs of our districts by funding it some other way. That area, that fund transfers in the past sometimes occur and sometimes are not allowed to occur. I am not asking us to increase our budget over what we want to do. I am asking us to make sure that when we go to conference, we're in a position to fund this should the conferees decide that they want to put money into this fund. Does all that make sense?
Yes, yes, I think I track what you're saying. I believe the original House position is they cut this
to zero.
They cut this to zero because they fully funded the foundation formula and said that those schools would be made whole through the foundation formula, which I disagree with.
Right.
And then in the Senate position,
Senate position was the dollar amount you see on your amendment, the 7.768. That was
right.
The Senate position,
but it
was not
fund.
From general revenue. It was from lottery.
Okay.
So it was a different fund. It's the same dollar amount, different fund. A fund that will be available and accessible when we go to conference, should we approve this.
And so what you're saying is by putting this in there, it would be a conferenceable item. The House position, of course, is zero. Our position is $7.7 million from general revenue, and it would be a conferenceable item to go through if we voted to accept your amendment.
Right.
It would be a conferenceable item, and it would be anywhere from zero to $7.7
million. Right, and just to be totally clear, if when the conferees are on House Bill 2 and they decide that even though we had it funded by lottery and those dollars aren't available, if they decide to go ahead and fund it and change the funding source, then this really is meaningless because they will have done it in 2.
Right.
But in case they don't, because they say it comes from a fund that is no longer solvent, we have an option to say, look, this was an important enough item to us that we also have this backstop, this position that says, okay, this is meaningful to us, now let's talk.
Right.
And we did it in 10 because that is the next place that we could do it that made any sense at all.
Yes.
And because when I talked to the appropriations chair and was first considering putting it in 11, he didn't think that that would be a good place because that's such a big chunk of change as it is.
Right, right, right. I understand. Yeah, this is most certainly something that is important to especially certain parts of my district, and I know the chairman, the senator from Phelps, I know it's important to him as well. He has several foster kids and other students that this would provide to. I'd like to visit with him a little bit on this, you know, offline and talk to him about this particular line item and see what his reaction is as well, or maybe you've had that conversation.
Well, we have had the conversation, and we've had it on the floor, and I don't want to put words into his mouth, but I'll tell you what my impression is of what he said. And what he said was he believes that we will be fine leaving this in 2 the way it is, and it's going to be in 2 the way it is.
Right.
He doesn't think the fact that it's being funded by a different source, by lottery, which may not be in existence, will be a problem.
Right.
He said he didn't, even though he was not supporting this, he didn't see that it did any harm.
Right.
And so my sense is if it does no harm, And if it provides us a backstop in case the conferees aren't willing to negotiate with a line item of funding that doesn't exist anymore when they get there, that this is a good option for us to have so that these dollars aren't lost.
Yes.
But feel welcome. You would be welcome to inquire of him. I would, if you feel comfortable and want to do it on the floor, at least then I am aware of what is going on in terms of talking about this. Again, I've heard from so many people today about the importance of this and the importance to these to this long list of districts, two single space pages of districts
yes.
that will be impacted by this. And again, the 11 million that it was funded at for this budget year was only 79% of the cost, covering only 79% of the cost. This is obviously less than that. And again, based on the vote yesterday, I took the Senate's position rather than my own preference, which was to at least make the funding equal. So,
yeah, and you know, I don't necessarily disagree where you're trying to go here, Senator. My biggest concern, and I, you know, told several people this yesterday. You know, I voted to fully fund the formula yesterday out of GR, and that means we have to make some tough decisions on some of the other line items because we didn't pass the circuit breaker bill like the House did and include that money in those House budget bills. And so I'd like to talk with the budget chair offline and for a minute and just see where we're at overall. And like I said, I know this is very important to him as well, because he has some school districts that receive a significant amount of funding for, you know, to make them whole and the foster kids. But I also realize the necessity and where we are in the budget right now, and we have to have a balanced budget. And I think what we did yesterday was great. That's what we needed to do. But it also means that we have to make some pretty tough decisions on some of these other line items.
All right, so I just want to, before I let you go, and I appreciate you coming out here and talking with me about this, I wanted to make two points. One was, yesterday I asked for the balance sheet.
Yes.
And so we have money in supplemental. We had it yesterday when I got the balance sheet, before we funded the formula fully,
yes.
To the tune of $147 million plus. That's in the supplemental, and then an ending balance of $15 million plus. So there is money there
right.
that we've set aside, not knowing what the supplemental will need, not knowing, you know, where we're going to land on all these things. But, you know, before you were here, you came in after, right, before you were here, previous budget chairs, we've closed out the budget with $1 million in that fund
yes.
versus, you know, close to $160 million in that fund. So even if you take 44 out for the fully funding of the formula, you're still well over $120 million. You're still over $120 million or right around that area. So there is, you know, there are dollars if we want to make this a priority, is my belief. The other piece of that is, again, I'm not adding anything to, I think it's really critical to remember I'm not adding anything. I'm just providing another way to access those important funds. And some of our districts, as was pointed out during the inquiry with the senator from the first, is that some of our districts aren't getting additional formula dollars. They're hold harmless districts, and yet they are on this list. And so they are having to, special school district in St. Louis, $3 million, Webster Groves School District, about $1 million of their budget that is coming out to help take care of these kids who need a quality education too. So not everybody, fully funding the foundation formula is important. And I want to make sure that those formula districts get their money. But a lot of our districts are funded by local effort. They will not gain from the fully funding, or not gain very much from the fully funding of the foundation formula, but they will gain to support them in their efforts to educate this special group of kids.
Right.
So with that, any questions for me?
I don't think so. I don't think so, Senator. Thanks for inquiring.
Out here. My pleasure. Anytime. Thank you, Senator.
Senator, desire to be heard on amendment number one. Does Does any senator desire to be heard on amendment number one? Senator from Buchanan, what purpose do you rise?
To inquire the senator from the 24th.
Senator from the 24th, do you yield to inquire from the senator from Buchanan?
I do.
Senator from Buchanan, you may proceed.
Okay, Senator, yesterday I was told that we started off with $160 million on the bottom line.
Right.
And then we did the 45 for fully funding the foundation formula, which I believe turns out to only be 37 of GR.
Okay, right.
And then we have $3 million for the senator from the 14th's line for the buyout of, you know, the people
right,
in the radiation
zone. Right, the homes around in Westlake.
So
Christian.
That adds up to $40 million. So if the $160 million number were correct, then we'd be at 120, but I asked the appropriation staff, or actually I had my chief do it, and we came to $107 million.
Oh, 107?
Right, there's...
$107
right, okay,
in
so
the supplemental.
Okay, so it's $107 on the supplemental line, and then there's $15 on the bottom line beyond that.
Right.
So that's... looks like $122.
Right.
So we actually have $122 million.
Right.
Right, set aside right now. And I just think that the body needs to know that. You know, if you wanted to get a true vote on this, probably asking for a roll call would be a wise thing to do. And so I was just going to plant
that. I think that would be great if some more senators would start.
Well, if they don't come in, then what we should do is let you take the floor, ask for a roll call. And if we don't have the requisite number, then we'll start inquiring of people and get them in here until we do. And we'll just make sure that we get that.
Right. Well, so I'm hopeful some of my colleagues who care about making sure our districts are made whole as they work to fund this placement fund.
Well, I think that we will be able to achieve that. So anyway, does that sound like a good plan to you?
Well, so I'm a little bit confused because once I asked for the roll call, I've never had, I don't know how long we're able to continue to wait for people to come in.
Oh, no, that's not the problem. We'll just get them to come in and tell them what the reason is. They'll come in. We'll just say, please hang around for a minute until we can ask, you know, get a roll call, and then we'll have it. Oh, let me handle it.
I will let you.
You ask for the roll call.
Okay.
Thank you.
Does any other senator desire to be heard on amendment number one? Senator the 24th, what purpose do you rise?
If I can get five members standing, I'd like to ask for a roll call.
You are requesting a roll call and five members standing. Senator, you do not have five members standing.
Thank you.
So your roll call will be denied. Does any other senator wish to speak on amendment number one? Senator from Buchanan, what purpose do you rise?
To inquire of this senator from St. Francois.
Senator from St. Francis. Senator from St. Francis does not appear to be in the chamber. Sergeant of Arms, please summons the Senator from St. Francis. Senator from St. Francis, do you yield to an inquiry from the Senator from Buchanan?
Yes, Mr. President, I do.
Senator from Buchanan, you may proceed.
Senator, I just inquired of you to try to get you into the room so that we could have some bodies stand up to give the Senator from the 24th a roll call on her amendment for foster kids.
I think she has a quality amendment out here, and I think it deserves a roll call vote. I'll support
okay,
you.
Okay, well, I agree, and some other senators came in, so I think I'll go ahead and just request that roll call, and if that doesn't work, please stick around, and we'll get some more, okay?
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. President.
Senator from Buchanan, what purpose do you rise?
Request a roll call on the pending motion before us.
You have five members standing. A roll call will be granted.
Thank you, Mr. President.
Does any other senator desire to be heard on amendment number one? Does any other senator desire to be heard on amendment number one? Hearing none, Senator from the 24th, you're recognized. Close.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, this amendment is not intended to add more money to the budget that was already approved by the Senate Appropriations Committee. It is used to make sure we have a backstop should there be a problem with the conferees, because the money that it is funded by in Budget Bill 2 is lottery money, and we do not know if that lottery money will be available to us. So as we get ready to go in and to support these, and again, I haven't counted them, but I'm going to say 60, 70 school.
Senate will come to order. Senate will come to order. Senator, you may proceed.
Thank you. These 60 or 70 school districts who depend upon this funding to help them with the placement of foster kids with special needs in their districts, I have taken the Senate's position as it was voted on by the committee and on the floor yesterday, and said we're going to have a backstop as an alternative fund that we would be able to look to GR should our position be to remain with the Senate position as it's been voted on as we go into conference. So with that, I ask my colleagues to support this important amendment that, again, our budget chair said does no harm. And with that, excuse me, I renew my motion.
The senator from the 24th has renewed her motion that Senate Amendment number 1 be adopted. A roll call request has been requested. Madam Secretary, please call the roll.
Senators Brown, Chappelle Nadal, Cunningham,
no.
Curls, Dixon, Igel, Emery, Hageman, Holzman, Hoskins, Hummel, Kehoe, Koenig, Krauss, Leibler, Munslinger, Nasheed, Onder, Richard, Riddle, Rizzo, Romine, Rowden, Sater, Schoff, Schatz, Shoup, Sifton, Sylvie, Wallingford, Walsh, Wasson, Whelan.
Senator from Andrew, purpose your rest. Senator from Andrews votes no. Senator from the 9th. Senator from the 9th votes aye. Senator from the 23rd. Senator from 23rd votes no. Senator from Green. Senator from Green votes no. By your vote of 12 ayes and 20 noes, the amendment has been defeated. We are now back on Senate Committee Substitute for House Committee Substitute for House Bill number 10. Does any senator desire to be heard? Senator from Buchanan, what purpose do you rise?
Mr. President, I have an amendment.
Send your amendment forward. And has your amendment been distributed?
It has. And I would ask for a waiver of the reading, and I move for its adoption.
Hearing no objection, reading will be waived. Senator from Johnson, what purpose do you rise?
President, I seek unanimous consent to introduce a very special guest.
Hearing no objection, you may proceed.
Thank you, Mr. President. To my right and to your left, next to my chief of staff, I have Terry Thompson. He is from Equity Bank in Higginsville. and I ask the body to please make him feel welcome.
Let's please welcome the guest from Senator Johnson to the Missouri Senate Chamber. Senator from Buchanan, we are back on your adoption motion, and do you care to explain your amendment? And you did make the adoption motion, is that correct, Senator?
Yes, sir.
All right, you may explain your amendment.
Mr. President, this amendment, while I did have a discussion with the senator from Phelps about adding language, since that time I found out that even if we pass this as is, we don't really need that language since a similar piece of language is in statute. But there are a group of people who are disabled and who receive consumer-directed services. And what we're doing is taking the cost cap from 100% to 60% of the nursing home cost cap. And by doing that, we're saving GR of $12.7 million. But there are a group of people who would be severely hurt by this. And even though there are exceptions for those people who would be in the nursing home if we were to do it, there are another subset of people who might not be bad enough to end up in the nursing home, but who would still be hurt by this reduction. And so I think that we deserve to have a vote on whether or not we want to do this to this group of people. Now, if we claim a savings under GR of $12.75 million, there is probably less than that because there are going to be some people who end up going into the nursing home one way or the other. And they may worsen, end up going into the nursing home. Those people who now could end up in the nursing home won't be counted since there is the exception process. So this comes down to us setting priorities. What is our priority? Is it to protect these people who are disabled, the most vulnerable people in our society, or to spend that money somewhere else in the budget? And I would ask the body to protect this group of people. They need protection, and I would, if I could get five members standing, I would ask for a roll call on my amendment.
You have five members standing. There will be a roll call vote on the amendment.
Thank you, Mr. President.
Does any senator desire to be heard on amendment number 2? Senator from Butler, what purpose do you rise?
Senator from Buchanan.
Senator from Buchanan, do you yield to an inquiry from the senator from Butler?
I do.
Senator from Butler, you may proceed.
I have two amendments on my desk. Which one are you talking about at this time?
It's the one that it is not 0.06S. It's the other one.
Okay.
It's the one that changes the numbers in there.
And how is your amendment here, without me having to go all the way through it, how is it going to help the people that you just previously mentioned?
Well, what it's going to do is it's going to put enough money into the budget, this other $13 million of GR, $12.7 million, and draw down federal dollars, I might add, to allow these people to continue to receive their consumer-directed services that they're getting now. And in case you don't know, there are a whole lot of consumer-directed services that these people can get. Let me give you some ideas.
Okay.
They can get an adult daycare waiver, adult daycare, advanced personal care, basic personal care, homemaker, Medicaid home delivery meals, help doing chores, in-home respite care, personal care in an RCF, a residential care facility, advanced personal care in an RCF, and personal care services. And there are other things, too. I won't go into that list, but
Tell me how all these groups are qualified to receive that care.
How would these people qualify?
Yeah, how would they qualify? I mean, who would qualify?
Well, first of all, they have to meet the point count as, you know, for going into a nursing home. And then they have a social worker visit them. Okay. I mean, we're talking about people, like, in wheelchairs
okay.
that just literally, I mean, quadriplegics, paraplegics, people with severe disabilities. I mean, these are people who, if anybody in society needs our help, it's these people. They don't live high on the hog. They don't have a lot of luxuries in their lives. And so that's it.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Does any other senator desire to be heard on amendment number 2? Just Senator from Phelps. What purpose do you rise?
Speak on the amendment.
You may proceed, Senator.
Thank you. Mr. President, members of the body, this was a decision made pretty early on by the governor's rec at 60% on consumer-directed, the House is at 60% on consumer-directed services, and the Senate and the committee came out at 60% of nursing home cap on consumer-directed services. Now, the home agency-directed services has always been held to a 60% count, and they're fine with that. And this is just the consumer-directed portion of the in-home care that we're talking about now. That had been allowed to run up to 100% of nursing home costs. And we're saying that that is probably not appropriate when the agency-directed folks are getting 60% and the agency-directed indicate that that is fine for managing these folks. So at this late date in the game, and we had discussions about this in committee, and I got no indications from the senator from Buchanan that we should do this, I would ask the body to vote no on the amendment and stay consistent as we would be with the governor and the House and the agency-directed home health services. So I ask you again, please vote no.
Does any other senator desire to be heard on amendment number 2? Senator from Buchanan.
I think maybe you didn't hear me the first time. To inquire of the senator from Phelps.
Senator from Phelps, do you yield to an inquiry from the senator from Buchanan?
I do.
You may proceed, Senator.
Okay. Senator, do you remember in committee when we were taking up House Bill 10, and I said, you know, I really hate to kind of throw the disabled under the bus and at the same time spend money on the expansion of managed care?
I remember a short discussion. It didn't seem like it was a real important issue. I think you voted for the bill, didn't you?
No, I voted no on 10. And the reason that I voted no on 10 is I cannot, in good conscience, disadvantage this set of people and at the same time in House Bill 11 give money to, illegally, I might add, to the managed care expansion. So that's why I'm offering this. And I just wanted to tell you that I don't think you should be surprised. I voted no on the bill. We talked about it a little bit. And it would be conferenceable, and I'm putting you in a position of being able to go to conference because the House's position is 60%, and if we go to 100%, all I'm doing is saying, you can conference.
Okay. Why should we treat the agency-directed folks differently than consumer-directed?
Because the consumer-directed people are choosing workers for themselves, and they are directing it. They are in charge of their own destiny, and they have people that they know care about them. If you were in a wheelchair, you would want to be able to direct it. That's what that was the whole point of the thing.
Right, and I still maintain that we vote no on this amendment at this time.
Well, I understand. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Does any other senator desire to be heard on amendment number 2? Does any other senator desire to be heard on amendment number 2? Hearing none, Senator from Buchanan, you're recognized. Close.
Okay, thank you, Mr. President. I want to point out to the body that the consumer-directed services are reimbursed at a lower level than the in-home caregiver's level is reimbursed. It may be true that they get reimbursed at 60% of the nursing home amount in aggregate, but the consumer-directed services pays a lower rate for the care that they receive. And this is only helping the most vulnerable people in our society, and this would be compensable. We would be putting this at 100% of the nursing home rate. And so I would ask the body to vote for these disadvantaged, disabled people and let it go to conference. And with that, Mr. President, I renew my motion.
The Senator from Buchanan renews his motion. Senate Amendment number 2 be adopted. A roll call has been requested and granted. Madam Secretary, please call the roll.
Senators Brown, Chappelle Nadal, Cunningham, Curls, Dixon, Igel, Emery, Hageman, Holzman, Hoskins, Hummel, Kehoe, Koenig, Kraus, Leibler, Munslinger, Nasheed, Onder, Richard, Riddle, Rizzo, Romine, Rowden, Sater, Schaaf, Schatz, Shoup, Sifton, Sylvie, Wallingford, Walsh, Wasson, Whelan.
Senator from Green. Senator from Green votes aye. Senator from the 13th. Senator from the 14th. Senator from 14th votes aye. Senator from the 23rd. Senator from 23rd votes no. Senator from the 8th. Senator from the 8th votes no. By your vote of 15 ayes and 17 noes, the amendment has been defeated. We are now back on Senate Committee Substitute for House Committee Substitute for House Bill number 10. Does any senator desire to be heard? Senator from the first, what purpose do you rise?
Mr. President, a point of personal privilege.
Senator from the first is requesting a point of personal privilege. Senator from the first, you may proceed.
Mr. President, this is impromptu and somewhat off the cuff, and so if the quality of my presentation suffers for that, I will apologize in advance. I just had an experience on an earlier amendment on the floor that I've had more than once or twice in this chamber. We all have a backstory as to how we came to be in this body. And in the era of term limits, of course, the day will come soon enough when none of us who are currently here will still be here. We have 34 districts in our state. Each of them has one senator. I am blessed to have institutional memory here on behalf of my district that most other senators do not have the benefit of. From the day I walked into this building, under circumstances that I think most would never imagine, much less even understand. On matters legislative, on matters of constituent service, on matters of just greater perspective of the issues to the First District, I've just had, and the people of my district have had, a little bit more working for them in this chamber than just the person sitting in this chair now. And I am, and continue to be, tremendously grateful for that. And it has just come to the point where I finally had to say that. If all of us work with our successors the way that some people have worked with theirs, this state will be immensely better off. Thank you, Mr. President.
Does any senator desire to be heard on the Senate Committee substitute for the House Committee substitute for House Bill number 10? Does any senator desire to be heard? Senator from Buchanan, what purpose do you rise?
I'd like to inquire of the senator from the second.
Senator from the second, do you yield to an inquiry from the senator from Buchanan?
I do.
Senator from Buchanan, you may proceed.
Senator, I'm only inquiring of you because I know you're concerned about this issue, and the members ought to understand what happened with the Women's Health Care Services line.
Right.
And I was the one who made this inquiry of Director Tidball, and when I found out that, you know, this issue has to do with abortion services, but it's not about that really. It's about the power of the legislature. And if any of the members who are listening think that this is about abortion, it isn't. This is not why I'm standing and talking. I'm talking about the executive branch versus the legislative branch. And I'm not talking about Governor Greitens. I'm talking specifically about Governor Nixon. And some of us in the chamber were concerned that some of these dollars on this line were going for abortion or to support an entity that performed abortions, and we could not change that with the 90-10 drawdown. You know, every dollar we put in would draw down $9 from the federal government, and we had a waiver to do that. And under that terms of that waiver, we could not deny that money go to a provider of abortions.
Correct.
So Senator Schaefer, as you recall, he put language in there to make it so that wouldn't happen, but it happened anyway.
Right.
So then what he did was he took it and made it all GR.
Right.
So that there was no authority to spend a single federal dollar.
That's right.
And guess what Governor Nixon did? He continued to provide those services under the waiver as if, you know, we still were on the federal program.
Precisely, yeah.
And that was outrageous enough, but then we found out that they went ahead and submitted a bill for the federal drawdown, although they haven't taken the money, whatever that means. Apparently they can send it in and say, you owe us the money, but the federal government doesn't give it until we actually take it. And so the first Appropriations Committee, I said to her, well, are you intending to take it? And she goes, well, no, we have, you know, probably not. And this time, the last time I talked to her, she said, well, we're not sure. Maybe we'll take it. I mean, we didn't appropriate any federal money.
We did not appropriate it.
I mean, and how can we even be on that program? I mean, we even put language in there that said none of this GR will be go to a provider of abortion services.
Yeah.
Now, does that outrage you?
It is absolutely outrageous. Now, it's my understanding that program for which we got the waiver initially to get the 90-10 match, that we had to somehow get out of that waiver first, and Nixon's department shuffled their feet about taking that administrative action, and therefore they continued to fund Planned Parenthood as if the legislature had done nothing last year.
I think that's baloney, that argument, by the way.
I do too.
Because they could have just renamed the plan and called it something else.
Yeah, and look, when this legislature does not appropriate the money, there is no authority to spend the money.
Right, and so now if you ask me today, is money still going to a provider of abortion services? I don't know the true answer, because it's up to the provider to declare in an attestation of whether or not they do it. And I'm not sure that there is any teeth in whether they attest or not.
Yeah, right, right. And that's right. It's my understanding that a couple of Planned Parenthood facilities that don't do abortion at that location attested that they don't do abortions. And then, of course, Reproductive Health Services on Forest Park in St. Louis attested that they do, of course, do abortions. So that the other two, as I understand it, the other two facilities did continue to receive state funds.
Well, the question here is, we now have $6 million in the line item, and, you know, the decision is, can we trust the executive to, you know, pursue our wishes, or are their hands, is our governor's hands bound to go by this attestation? You know, are we achieving our goal? And I honestly don't know the answer.
You know, obviously we have a different governor with different views on these issues, and I think things will be different, and I expect them to be different, because I think Governor Nixon's administration was quite clearly out of line when they continued to provide funds to an abortion provider.
Right, and it was illegal. It was unconstitutional.
Yep.
It was thumbing his nose at the legislature. I mean, he should be roundly criticized for having done that. And then, like I said, this has nothing to do with abortion. This has to do with, we didn't put any authority for him to do this.
It has to do with the Constitution and separation of powers, Senator. Absolutely.
I'm not suggesting that we eliminate that line,
right,
but the thought did occur to me.
Yeah, I'm not suggesting it either, but I think we expect the present administration to do much better. I am very hopeful that the present administration will abide by the clear instructions of the legislature on this matter.
Thank you for the inquiry, Senator.
Thank you. Mr. President.
Does any other senator desire to be heard? Senator from the second, with purpose to rise.
To inquire of the senator from Phelps.
Senator from Phelps, do you yield to an inquiry from the senator from the second?
I do.
Senator from the second, you may proceed.
Thank you for the inquiry. Senator, this will be very brief. I just wanted to call your attention to one particular line item in the House budget that didn't make it in the Senate, which is the Developmental Disability Parent Partner Program. This is a program, a pilot program, conducted between several providers in St. Charles County and I believe Warren and Lincoln County is also eligible for the program. It was a program that Senator Roop, Senator Dempsey worked on when they were in this body, and it's one of the few items that my own county has in this budget. And basically, this is a program that teaches parents of developmentally disabled children, severely developmentally disabled children, how to care for them at home,
right,
to keep them out of institutions. So it was a $300,000 line item. It's estimated there were 346 families served through the project. Of those, 114 families have graduated, and just doing the numbers, this saves, you know, significant money by keeping these children out of long-term care facilities. So I've been urged to offer an amendment, and I honestly am not a believer in Senate floor amendments to the budget. So I'm not going to. I just wanted to rise briefly and encourage you and the other conferees to adopt the House's position on this issue.
You know, we had this discussion a little bit on the side gallery, and sometimes in our overzealous attitude to get GR, save GR, when some bills aren't making it, we do go too far. And the nice thing about some of these items, they are conferenceable the House. As we gain more knowledge, and you certainly have not asked for a lot of things in the budget, you've been a very good colleague, and I give you my commitment on the floor that we will try to get that $300,000 and go with the House and put that back in the budget. I don't want to end this program. It sounds like it's a very good program. It's a program we didn't know a lot about at the time.
Right.
And sometimes when the individual senator that has knowledge isn't on the committee, we don't get the full story. So that was an oversight.
Well, and a lot of that is mine. I should have made better efforts to communicate with you just the importance of this program. But I appreciate it. And again, I am not a believer in Senate floor amendments, especially since we don't have the House rule where if you want to do an increasing amendment, you have to do a decreasing amendment. So, I don't want to engage in some sort of free-for-all of offering House amendments, but I would encourage floor amendments. But I would encourage you, and I appreciate your commitment.
I will encourage our conferees on this item to go with the House, and I'm fine with doing that.
Thank you, Senator, for the inquiry.
I'll make you that commitment. Thank you.
Does any other senator desire to be heard on the Senate Committee Substitute for House Committee Substitute for House Bill Number 10? Senator from the 24th, what purpose do you rise?
Mr. President, I have an amendment. It has not been distributed. I ask for a waiver of the reading, and I would move for its adoption.
Please send your amendment forward. Hearing no objection, the reading will be waived. Senator, do you care to explain your amendment?
Certainly, I'd be happy to. In Section 10.714, there is information in there actually sort of legislating through the budget process that I know that we often talk about we should not do. But the language is in there, and what it does is it disqualifies certain groups from accessing dollars available for family planning services, pregnancy testing, sexually transmitted disease testing and treatment, from pap smears to pelvic exams. This, what is unintended, I believe, in this language is its reference to Section 1.70.015 of Missouri's Revised Statutes. And what it says in that, in Missouri's Revised Statutes, is that it defines abortion, because this money is not to go to organizations that perform abortions. I believe that's the intention. And yet, this reference to this area of statute says this. It will include those organizations, whether they be a family practitioner, a hospital, a primary care doctor's office, any organization that encourages a patient to have an abortion or referring a patient for an abortion. So, unless it is necessary to save the life of a mother. My concern is this. In our effort to try not to provide funding services to places, to organizations that perform abortions, we have eliminated accessing the dollars that we provide for women's health services, we have eliminated access to those dollars to all kinds of individuals, hospitals, doctors, groups, organizations. I don't believe that's the intention of this legislature. I don't believe it is a good idea to hold every hospital who may provide an abortion, perhaps because of some severe anomaly or because a fetus would not live to see its way outside the womb. We are going to hold accountable for referring or for even referring someone for an abortion when a situation may be so dire, it's a situation none of us have even thought of yet. I don't believe that that is the intention of this legislature. I believe that this legislature is clear about not wanting to provide public dollars for abortion funding, but when we include, based on that statute, those who refer someone for an abortion based upon a specific need that we may not have even thought of today, I think we've made a mistake. So, Mr. President, what this language does is it strips that area out and replaces it so that those who are referring a woman for her full range of reproductive options are not held accountable and not allowed to see to receive reimbursement for the services they provide. Thank you, Mr. President, and I would welcome any questions.
Does any senator desire to be heard on amendment number 3? Senator from Cole, what purpose do you rise?
Thank you, Mr. President. I seek unanimous consent to introduce a very special guest.
Hearing no objection, Senator, you may proceed.
Thank you, Mr. President. To my right and to your left, we have with us today Dustin Gum. He is from one of my favorite schools in my district, which is Our Lady of Fatima Public High School in Westphalia, Missouri. Dustin is a senior. He'll be going to Mizzou next year. He's considering law, but I'm talking him out of that and trying to move him into maybe political science. He did note that what he's job shadowing Representative Hurst today in the House, that they're a bunch of terrorist crazy people. And believe it or not, to my colleagues, we seem sane to Dustin. So if we could welcome Dustin.
Would the guests of the Senator from Cole please rise, and would the members of the Senate chamber please welcome him. We are now back on amendment number 3. Does any senator desire to be heard on amendment number 3?
Mr. President.
Senator from Phelps, what purpose do you rise?
Thank you, Mr. President, to speak on the amendment.
You may proceed.
Thank you. I understand what you're trying to do, but in committee this question came up. We referred to this section of law, and it allows hospitals, that got started around the building somehow, it allows hospitals to offer and saving the life of the mother. It's in statute already, so I don't think your amendment is necessary. And I would urge the body to vote no. This language that's in there has been passed. It is in statute, so we're not legislating in the budget bills. But there is protection in that section of law already that is referenced. Thank you.
Does any other senator desire to be heard on amendment number 3? Does any senator from 24th, what purpose do you rise?
Briefly inquire of the senator from Phelps, please.
Senator from Phelps, do you yield to an inquiry from the senator from the 24th?
Yes.
Senator from the 24th, you may proceed.
Thank you, Senator. I appreciate it. Senator, yes, I agree with you that in our statute is an exception to save the life of the mother.
Right.
But there are other situations where, first of all, the mother's life may not be, she may not be in a position where she's going to lose her life, but other kinds of things may happen as a result of carrying a pregnancy to term, and or there are times when something to do with the fetus creates a problem and the mother does not need to carry that fetus to term because there are situations where that fetus is not going to be able to live outside the womb. So it does not cover all situations. It covers one situation. I know you and I have talked about legislating through the budget process. This is one of those areas where that's being done. So, yes, I acknowledge that our statutes currently do account for the life of the mother. But that is the only thing for which they account. This is much broader than that and is going to include places like our hospitals, doctor's offices, et cetera. So I would ask that you reconsider your position and that you allow this body or encourage this body to remove that harmful language that gets in the way of a woman accessing her reproductive rights and gets in the way of hospitals, doctors being able to do what they need to do in support of their patients. I think they're in a better position than we are as legislators, and by keeping this language in our budget bill, we are doing a disservice not only to the women of the state of Missouri, but to those physicians who may believe that that a certain alternative is in the best interest of their client.
I respectfully disagree and urge the body to vote no on your amendment. Thank you.
Thank you.
Does any other senator desire to be heard on amendment number 3? Senator from the second, what purpose do you rise?
Speak on the amendment.
You may proceed, Senator.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, we've come a long way since the 1990s and the days of the Clinton administration, where President Clinton expressed his views on the issue of abortion as being safe, legal, and rare. It seems like the position of some has changed to safe, legal, and subsidized. Mr. President, under federal law, we have repeatedly, the citizens of the United States repeatedly have, through enactment of the Hyde Amendment and subsequent budget bills since the 1970s, expressed the sentiment that public funds will not be used to do abortions. At the state level, we have expressed repeatedly, the people have expressed repeatedly through their representatives that public funds should not go to the largest provider of abortion services in the United States, Planned Parenthood. Mr. President, I, for all these reasons, I urge the adoption, the rejection, a no vote on this amendment by this body. Thank you, Mr. President.
Does any other senator desire to be heard on amendment number 3? Senator from Clay, what purpose do you rise?
Thank you, Mr. President. I seek unanimous consent to introduce some special guests.
Hearing no objection, you may proceed.
Thank you, Mr. President. Joining us in the rear gallery today, we have the 8th grade class, Mrs. Pruitt's 8th grade class from St. Charles, which is a school in my district. They've come down to watch us in session today, and I would ask that the Senate join me in making them feel welcome.
Would the guests of the Senator from Clay please rise, and would the members of the Senate chamber please welcome them to the Senate chamber today. We are now back on amendment number 3. Does any senator desire to be heard on amendment number 3? Senator from the 1st, what purpose do you rise?
Inquire of the senator from the 24th.
Senator from the 24th, you yield to an inquiry from the senator from the 1st.
I do.
Senator, you may proceed.
Senator, I just want to make sure that I am clear that if your amendment is adopted, that the implications of it will not result in terms of the senator from the 2nd, a Hyde Amendment situation. This is simply, these are funds that would be used for purposes other than providing abortions, correct?
These funds would not be used for purposes of providing abortions, even if my amendment passed. So I think that the senator has certainly mischaracterized what this amendment does.
This is about women's health.
This is absolutely about women's health, and this is about all kinds of doctors and people who care for women making a referral. And my gosh, to cut off services or to cut off funding to those doctors and even organizations, but those physicians who are trying to help their patients figure out what is in their best interest for themselves and their family, to characterize that as subsidizing abortions is absolutely misleading.
Yeah, I wanted to make sure I understood your amendment, because the way that the last speaker presented it just made that question forefront in my mind. I wouldn't have imagined that that's what you were doing, but I did want to make sure that I was clear on that.
Right. So, you know, clearly the characterization that a hospital, that doctors in a hospital, doctors in an office, primary care physicians, anyone who provides a woman with information that may direct her that in her best interest or the best interest or the fact that a fetus may not survive outside the womb or whatever those situations are that would suggest that they refer her to abortion as an option, for us to cut their funding, I think is outrageous, and I don't think it was the intent of this legislation. Certainly, our statutes currently say that there will be no funding to providers of abortion. That exists, and this does not change that.
Yeah, I assumed as much, Senator, but wanted to verify and appreciate your clarifying that. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator.
Does any other senator desire to be heard on amendment number 3? Senator from Barton, what purpose do you rise?
Thank you, Mr. President, to speak against the amendment.
You may proceed, Senator.
I agree with my colleague from the 24th that this really is about women's health. I just wanted to give some information about women's health. There was a study of 56,741 California Medicaid patients revealed that women who had abortions were 160% more likely than delivering women to be hospitalized for psychiatric treatment in the first 90 days following abortion or delivery. Patients researchers found that 44% complained of nervous disorders, 36% had experienced sleep disturbances, 31% had regrets about their decision, 11% had been prescribed psychotropic medicine by their family doctor. A 2006 study found that women who experienced abortion were more likely to be treated for sleep disorders or disturbances compared to women who gave birth. 5-year study in Canada found that 25% of women who had abortions made visits to psychiatrists as compared to 3% of the control group. I mean, Mr. President, this is about women's health, and I stand in opposition to the amendment.
Does any other senator desire to be heard on amendment number 3? Does any other senator desire to be heard? Hearing none, Senator from the 24th, you're recognized. Close.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I just want to read some information briefly to, first of all, this is not about abortion or providing abortion money to those who perform abortions. This is about funding for doctors, many of whom may be our doctors or hospitals or doctor's offices that treat women and provide women with the services they need, which may include, on occasion, referring for abortion. The referral for abortion, if we take funding away from every organization that supports low-income women who are accessing services because they may offer that referral, I think we're going down a pathway where nobody is going to want to provide services because they can't afford to provide services to our women who deserve access to their full range of reproductive services. States are not permitted to exclude providers from a program solely on the basis of range of medical services they provide. Under federal law, Medicaid beneficiaries may obtain medical services from any institution, agency, community pharmacy, or person qualified to perform the service or services required who undertakes to provide him such services. This is the any willing provider clause, and you're taking away what is constitutionally required under federal law, the any willing provider clause, by not allowing certain physicians or offices to be reimbursed for the services they provide simply because they made a referral. I think what we're doing with the language in this bill is unconstitutional, and I think that we are making a big mistake by not removing this language, which does not encourage more abortions, which does not pay for more abortions or any abortions. It simply says we're going to follow the law and we are not going to hold doctors accountable for something that is about providing information to their patients. So, Mr. President, I ask that the body consider this legislation through the budget process fully as we vote to support this amendment. Thank you, Mr. President.
Senator, you are recognized to close.
Thank you, Mr. President.
The senator from the 24th has renewed her motion that Senate Amendment Number 3 be adopted. As many in the opinion that motion shall prevail, say aye. Those of the contrary say no.
No.
The noes appear to have it. The noes do have it. The amendment has failed. We are now back on Senate Committee Substitute for House Committee Substitute for House Bill Number 10. Does any senator desire to be heard? Senator from the 24th, what purpose do you rise?
Mr. President, I have an amendment. It has not been distributed. I move for its adoption, and I will not close until it has been distributed.
Please send your amendment forward. Hearing no objection, the reading will be waived. Senator, do you care to explain your amendment?
I will explain my amendment. So, Senator, earlier today during the same budget process when we were talking about...
Senate will come to order while the senator explains the amendment. Senator, you may proceed.
Thank you. When we were talking about private placement of students during this amendment period during this discussion of House Bill 10, the question was raised by the budget chair when I talked about the $7.7 million that we needed to try to ensure was available when we go to conference by changing the funding stream from lottery to GR. The budget chair asked me the question, even though this is not how the budget works in the Senate, but the budget chair asked me a question about where I was looking to get those dollars. Then, Mr. President, in House Bill 10, we have an opportunity to take federal dollars instead of putting in state dollars in this budget. The federal law and our statutes do not allow for these dollars to go for the funding of abortion. By accepting the amendment that is before us, we can save...
Senator from Phelps.
Mr. President, I was waiting to get to a stopping point. Didn't fear we were going to do that, but would you please lay this bill on the informal calendar?
This bill will be placed on the informal calendar. Senator from Cole.
Thank you, Mr. President. Without objection, Senate go to the order of business of announcements.
Hearing no objection, the Senate will go to the order of business of announcements. Senator from Clay.
Thank you, Mr. President. I have an announcement.
You may proceed.
Thank you, Mr. President. Your Committee on Commerce and Energy will meet in 15 minutes in the Senate lounge.
Thank you, Senator. Announcements. Senator from Lewis.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'd like to announce that today the Missouri Farmers Care is providing lunch in the rotunda, and that is being provided by Missouri's number one industry, and that's agriculture. Thank you, Mr. President.
Announcements. Senator from the second, what purpose do you rise?
Thank you, Mr. President. Your Committee on General Laws will meet 15 minutes after recess.
Thank you, Senator. Senator from Green, purpose do you rise?
Thank you, Mr. President. To just announce again, today at 3 o'clock, we'll be inviting all members of both the Senate and the House, as well as staff, down to the second floor outside of room 221 for Donut Day. Happy to have a business from Springfield, Hertz Donut, come up and provide an opportunity for us to break bread with one another and hopefully bring folks together here the last few weeks of the session and do it in sort of a sweet way. So thank you,
Senator. Announcements? Senator from the 13th, what purpose do you rise?
Mr. President, your Committee on Progress and Development will be meeting in the Bingham Conference Room at 1:30.
Thank you, Senator. Announcements? Announcements? Hearing none, Senator from Cole.
Mr. President, no further business coming before the body. I move the Senate stand in recess until 2 p.m. this day.
Senator from Cole moves that the Senate stand in recess till 2 p.m. this day. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The Senate will stand in recess till 2 p.m. this day.